Hey everyone, this is going to be a very special episode of Noodle Time because it's been almost 3 months that Dynamo haven't won yet a single game, and it's been ties and losses so far. And the game yesterday against Real Salt Lake has been a special one, only because it's been a very common thread for the past, I would say, past 7 years with Matt Jordan, basically. And yeah, it's been pretty dreadful for Tony and I. In this episode, Tony won't be joining me, unfortunately. He's been handling some stuff over the past couple days. But this is going to be a special episode because this is going to be an episode that the Dynamo community, as well as the Foxtrot peeps that follow me and also listen to the episodes, are going to be getting their voices heard, and we'll get to hear their opinions and also mine, obviously. Now that Dynamo have been in a pretty dreadful run, it's been pretty embarrassing, to say the least. And that, and also the Dash losing in penalties, it put me in a really bad mood, especially coming back from work in 100-degree weather, not feeling good about it. So get us started. I'm just going to go ahead and talk. And whenever you guys want to speak or whenever you like, just raise your hand, or I'll go ahead and invite you guys to talk, and we'll go ahead and get you guys set up. So for me, obviously you guys know me, I've been watching this team for almost since 2012 pretty much, and I've seen the downfall pretty much. I've seen how the team has become what it is now, and it's pretty disappointing, to say the least. It's been pretty dreadful, and I'm sad about it because, like, it's just like I pretty much think about the Dynamo all the time. I think about the Dash all the time, and the sport as a whole, pretty much. And obviously, I try not to get the Dynamo play every single week into my mental state, otherwise I'll be insane at this point. But I get pretty bummed, obviously, just looking back at how we still have Matt Jordan for the past few years, and it's been pretty much the same. And this year we're pretty much running for the wooden spoon, which is an award we haven't won yet. So this past few games, honestly, like, it's been pretty dreadful to watch the Dynamo. And especially coming off the game at Austin FC, I felt the passion again, because it's been a while since I've been sitting next to El Batallón, and it felt special. Like, even though we lost that game with a man down, it's I still feel the passion for the team. And just looking back at the result yesterday, and looking back at the stupid losses, overall, it's been pretty disappointing. But yeah, it's like you guys have seen me lately in social media. It's all the roads lead to Matt Jordan, and it's been a common denominator over the past couple of years, and just having three different full time coaches under the helm, and This keeps happening. And obviously, with Brenner gone and Tetzegal coming in, I'm expecting changes, one would assume, in a healthy organization. And if you're trying to actually implement a winning culture here, one would expect that, but we don't know that yet. So that's a part that's the only part that's worrying me as of right now. It shouldn't be that worrying, considering that either it could be a thing about waiting for Matt Jordan's contract to run out. There could be like a buyout clause maybe in the contract. We don't know that. And it could be just a waiting game we're waiting on. We could usually waiting to the end of the season for all these changes to come back. But my main point is pretty much that I think that it will be much better for them to get rid of this as soon as possible, so they can get started, essentially, to bring in the next GM, or if necessary, the next head coach. And if y'all if y'all want to go ahead and talk, I'm going to go ahead and start inviting peeps to come by. If y'all want to talk, if that's okay. And yeah. And pretty much what I was saying is that as soon as these guys get started, as soon as they want to come by and pretty much just start setting up the foundation towards establishing a much better team. Obviously, cleaning house is not that easy in MLS, since we have to. I want to say cleaning house only in the side of players, since we've seen that over the past couple seasons. Since getting rid of all the players is not that as easy as getting rid of like the general manager and the head coach and at the same cycle. So it's gonna be interesting to see what's gonna happen over the next couple weeks, maybe couple months. As of right now, it looks like they're gonna have to stay until the end of the season, but we're gonna go ahead and see how that goes. So we're gonna go ahead and get started with David. He's our main, one of the main meme merchants in the industry. So yeah. Alrighty, how's it going, David?
Obviously not well, as but yeah. I had therapy today, so that did help. I actually did talk to my therapist about how the Dynamo objectively suck, and it does mean that once or twice a week my nights are ruined. Even if I find myself not watching the game, I'm constantly checking the score and seeing FOT Mob notifications that we concede to God knows who, and it's just a constant string of disappointment. One thing you talked about is kind of like roster creation in MLS and like building from the ground up and like, you know, kind of just getting the, just cleaning house, like as best as we put it. Like, there are very few players on this team who I think would be legitimate pieces on, let's not say contenders, let's shoot for playoff team at this point. Cause we've seen that once in the last 7 or 8 years, like let's just go for being, you know, top 8, top 9 now, cause the league keeps expanding. You know, you've got Tyler Pasher, who's good on the ball, Fafa, maybe, like those guys are very similar. I think one of them on the field at each time could kind of coexist because they do kind of slow down play and take on their mans. I don't think both of them on the wings is as effective as we could be. I think we need someone who does play more direct, but that's kind of the minutia of it. Something I really need to see from the Dynamo is, well, two things. It's basically just building up through the draft. If you're gonna suck, at least hit on some of the draft picks. Like,
yeah.
almost every team in Major League Soccer has at least had one of their recent draft picks play substantial enough minutes to make it worth it. But if you think of the guys we've drafted recently in the first round, I mean, Michael Nelson's the only one on the roster still, I believe. And then you've got like, what, Rob Lovejoy, Zach Steinberger, whatever his name is. I don't even remember. He played for the Jacksonville Armada. He can't be that relevant.
I'd say Ajunquo will be like our most recent success, quote unquote. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, like it's been pretty much miss and miss. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about Sam Junkwa is the fact that Tajon Buchanan was drafted with the pick right after him. Like he's good. Like Junkwa's usable. It's a good contract because he's solid depth. He can, you know, he's played in the midfield for us. He's played at left back for us. But you've got a guy who's garnering major interest. He just won, you know, Young Player of the Tournament for the Gold Cup. This guy's been like the second or third most important guy on a team that could win the Eastern Conference. And we're sitting here like, oh, cool. A backup left back. Like, even though Tajon Buchanan was also the obvious choice in that slot. He just came out of Syracuse. He had a phenomenal year with Syracuse. ACC is the best conference in collegiate soccer. It just makes no sense. If you're going to suck, at least hit on those picks. Like, at least use what MLS gives you for being bad. And secondly, it's picked up recently, but we need more homegrowns. We need more homegrown players coming through. We need more homegrown contracts.
Yep.
Because, like, Generation Adidas and homegrown contracts are really how you build a solid all-around roster. Instead of just you know, very top heavy, where you've got, you know, Urruti making 600,000 a year, and, you know, a bunch of starting 11 players making pennies relative to that. You build a team that's young, hungry, ready to win, ready to fight for a spot. You get that fire kind of under guys' butts that they actually need to play for a place, instead of, like, as much as I love Zarek Valentin, he's really had no competition all year, except for Griffin Dorsey, who just plays like depth option at right back, and Bizama's God knows where, until he gets loaned out. Like, I don't even think he was in the picture from the beginning. And it's just, it's kind of pathetic. You've got no squad, like, competitiveness. Marriage has been horrible. I was looking at American Soccer Analysis has this wonderful thing. It's like goals added. And he was literally negative. Like, that shouldn't be your starting goalkeeper at this point. You're using an international roster spot on him as well. I don't even know where that transfer came from, because it seems like we don't have consistent scouting in Scotland. It seems very random in general. Same with the Strunia signing. Like, stick to what we know. We know Central America. We scout Central America. Where are these transfers coming from? Like, that's the thing we need to do, is just use, like, the cheap players that we can find, at least. Like, you know, the Elise, the Minotas, like, those guys weren't breaking the bank to build a good team. Like, instead of just having one or two of these guys playing and being like, okay, they're our star boys, make them carry us. Like, I'm hoping that when Ted Segal, like, you know, gets a full, like, pretty much a full transfer window, that instead of just spending on one flashy designated player, you know, who might be past his prime coming from Europe to bring, you know, players or people in the seats, we build around a full team. Like, we build a full squad. We just brought in, you know, we basically have our two center backs. We've got Vera, who's a good midfielder, and we've got two wingers that one can probably play off the bench, and a whole bunch of guys who would be at best depth options in Major League Soccer. We need guys that, you know, at least will fight for a spot. And there are plenty of places where we can pick them up without breaking the bank. And I think that, you know, instead of just splashing the cash on some big star, we need to stick to what we know and build an entire squad. We really do need to kind of just tear down and rebuild the entire way, whether it be, you know, through the draft, through homegrown contracts, through, you know, Central and South America, a mix of all three, preferably a mix of all three, because that's how you win in this league. But, you know, you've seen teams like Philadelphia win the Supporters Shield with a lot of their most important players coming through the academy. And you've seen teams like San Jose has started doing that recently. And now you've got, like, a legitimate forward who's 18 and can be with that team for a while. Obviously the Red Bulls have been using their academy for years and gotten a lot of success through it. And the academy itself is something that pays for itself if you get it up and running right, where you bring these guys in, you're not going to be able to hold on to them for long if they're good enough. They're going to get sold to Europe, whether it be, you know, mid-tier leagues, top five leagues, whatever. A lot of European teams are now looking to America for young talent. And so, you know, you get one of those transfers, you get one of the, like, Gianluca Busio transfers, stuff like that, that pays for your academy for years to come. And it pays for your academy coaching, and it makes it a legitimate staple in the Houston area, showing that this is a pathway to professional soccer in it. You know, the fourth largest city in the country, with, you know, any national team besides the United States of America pretty much sells out whatever stadium they're in. And it's, you know, a sea of 70,000 Honduran fans, Salvadoran fans, Mexican fans, whatever. There are plenty of people that play soccer. There's no reason our academy should be as bad as it is. It's gotten better recently, but there really needs to be work on it. And that's what I hope we invest in the most of anything, because that's what can reap the most rewards in the long term.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the main points we have to take into consideration is the fact that we don't have to spend that much to get back on the top. And Philadelphia, it's a perfect example, because you look at the payroll and they're literally right below us in the payroll, and they just won Supporters Shield last year. And yeah, and they got it going for themselves, because you just mentioned too, that their academy is extremely, extremely good. They're not producing like a player every year now, or two.
Yeah.
And they're sending them to Europe like straight away. And yeah, that, and also going back to the point of the draft, we skipped on Obisi, we skipped on Jackson Juelli, and we're not, that's going for them. So, so yeah, it's been, like you just got, yeah, you brought some great points essentially. And yeah, like they just need to know how, like, to not suck, but they keep sucking.
Yeah.
It's pretty upsetting, honestly.
I mean, the fact that, you know, Philadelphia kind of has such a dominant academy, they're not really feeding on a soccer hotbed. They play in Chester, Pennsylvania, and I think their homegrown map is basically like Pennsylvania and then maybe a little bit of like southern New Jersey, and that's it. Like, those aren't traditional soccer, like, there's not that much going on there. Like, obviously you got Pulisic, who played in Hershey, but like, he's kind of, you know, he didn't even come through their academy. He's kind of the golden boy from that area.
Yeah.
And they're still producing. So what are we doing wrong? Because it seems like pretty much everything at this point. All we've had is like, you know, Memo, Tyler Derrick, and then the new guys who haven't really even played minutes. You know, Palomino played a little bit in like MLS's back tournament and stuff like that, you know, off the bench. And then now, you know, we got kind of a lone army and some guys playing for the under 23 team. And obviously it is something that you don't get instant success. Like, you don't get instant gratification, but there's work to be done. Holischer's started to do a good job, I'd say, but there's a lot more work to be done. I think what you really need is to create a residential academy, if possible, and move on from there, where you know, you'll be funding these guys. So that way it takes 30 minutes to get from anywhere in Houston to get to Houston. And so if you create a spot where these guys can at least stay, you know, on the weekends and train, or full time and train, you can bring in people from three hours away. That's the thing, is people are going to play for their local teams instead of playing for the academy when, first of all, we suck as a team. It's not something you really want to associate with at this point. And secondly, if it's closer, it saves time, it saves money, it saves, you know, the family, everything. There's really no drive for the people in the Houston area to play for the Dynamo Academy, except for, you know, the occasional guy who makes it out and makes it big.
And yeah, absolutely.
Really what you need, like, there are very few ways to mitigate that unless you hit on a golden boy, which it doesn't really seem like we're going to do anytime soon. So if you're going to do that in any other ways, either make multiple academies around the city of Houston to where it's a lot more accessible, or residential academy. That's what I see. Like, those are the ways that, you know, that's how the Red Bull do so well. They have academies around, like, academy teams around different places in New Jersey that they feed into their main academy team. And, you know, same thing with NYCFC. They got teams out on Long Island. They got teams, you know, up in Yonkers and stuff like that. And obviously they've, you know, Reyna went through their academy. Obviously, you know, that's because his dad works for the team. But you've got guys like James Sands playing consistent minutes. You've got guys going abroad. And if you're going to look at a team that, you know, started in 2015 and you're like, they have a definitively better academy than us, even though they play in the South Bronx, and you really can't have that great soccer facilities in New York City at this time for a large academy team, how do they still do it? And it's by creating ways to where people can join all around. And that's what we need to do. Like, there are plenty of templates in Major League Soccer that you need to follow, and we followed none of them. And pick one, pick all three. I don't care. Just do something that has a legitimate plan instead of what we've been doing for the last 8 years, which is just kind of firing a shotgun into the darkness of Central American wonder kids and hoping that they hit.
Yeah. So, David, thank you so much. Yeah, like, you hit a ton of great points, especially with Tetsugo coming in and potential investment opportunities that he can do, especially when it comes to the Residential Academy, which is making great strides for programs like Philadelphia, like you mentioned, and one of the outstanding examples. That, and it's going to come down to mainly investment, and obviously with a new general manager that doesn't bring in miss signings for the most part. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in Germán Benítez. And let's go ahead and bring him on right now. All right. Germán, how's it going, my man?
Hello.
Yeah, Germán.
Oh, hey, good evening, y'all. I just want to start off by saying that this is pretty cool. We're Dynamo fans. We can gather and talk about the team. And obviously not the best moments right now, but I'll keep it short. I agree with the previous individual. I missed his name. I'm sorry.
But, oh, David, yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. We have to accept the fact that we're not the most financially supported team in MLS. So we have to find ways to build the team somewhere else. And I agree. It has to be the academy. And that, to me, my understanding was the reason we hired Tab Ramos, you know, that he had this work with U.S. youth in the national teams. I thought that was part of the appeal, right? That he was going to help restructure our academy and hopefully make it produce in the long run. But just to build on how in ways to improve the academy, I think he hit it dead on. Houston's a big, big, big city.
Yeah.
You should definitely have hubs or schools, definitely all the suburbs in town, and then also make it accessible for the inner city youth. You know, there's so much talent. It's just not being scouted. And the other thing is use your USL team, the Toros. I know we kind of not involved with them anymore, but you can also scout talent down there in the Valley as well that can feed into your youth system. Man, it's tough times right now.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I watched the game last night. I try to be optimistic, you know. I'm Salvadorian American. I love Darwin, but yesterday he had a terrible game and probably we'll see him, you know. But yeah, something needs to change. I'm in the boat to where, hey, you know, I know Tap hasn't done anything to justify him staying, but I am a believer in patience, so I'm on the boat where I'm Jordan out, but keep Tab, but also keep Tab on a leash because he hasn't been able to produce. You can't just say bad luck for 11 weeks straight, you know.
Pretty much, yeah. I didn't watch the game live yesterday because I was at work, and I did watch the replay, but I managed to catch the last 20 minutes, and essentially, like, I wanted to take a shower real quick and watch, like, the last 10 minutes, and my brother was like, hey, why aren't you catching the rest of the game while you're here? And I was like, well, I know how the score's going to be, but I'll be here to watch the ending. So, it was going to be 2-1, and it ended up being 2-1. And it's one of those things that if you've been, like, a Dynamo fan for, like, the past 7 to 8 years, like, you know what's going to happen at this stage with the players that we got, with the mentality that we have through the coaches and, like, all the way to the general manager. Like, if you've been following this team, like, you know what you're getting into. Darwin Seren, last year it was, like, it's probably, like, his best season with us, and it was just disappointing to, like, see him play like that last night, to be honest with you. And it was just, like, a bad game for him, hopefully, but oh well, that's one that he has to, like, learn out of.
I agree. No, we have to find ways to field a more competitive team. And I think for us, take advantage of where you're at. You know, Houston is so big, there's so much talent everywhere in this city. Go find those kids and make your youth system better, you know. Like, look, at least, you know, I hate FC Dallas, but at least they're selling their players, you know, and making
money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we both have empty stadiums, but at least they're making money through the youth academy. So, I don't know. I'm still gonna support the Dynamo. You know, I'm from Houston. I grew up watching, you know, the first two, the championships, going to Robertson. You know, I forever love the Dynamo, but it's tough, man. Like, it's really, I want to go to the game tomorrow just to hold up a Fire Matt Jordan sign, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want to go.
Oh, yeah, that, and I believe in the supporter section, they're going to be handing out paperbacks. So if you want to pick one up, for sure, go ahead and do that. And I also think they're going to do some Matt Jordan out chants as well. So it's going to be good. And obviously, it may not be like the best time to go to games and help pretty much support Matt Jordan and the team as of right now. But still, you're going out at supporting our team, which is still good. So, yeah, like, I'll be having fun as well.
It's good to see Dynamo fans united. It's good to see us have passion, you know, for our team. And I'll leave the floor open for any more fans. And thank you for the opportunity. Stay safe. And go Dynamo.
Yeah, thank you, Ramon. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, if you guys want to hop on, just go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll go ahead and get you in. But yeah, Herman has brought some, like, an important point, being the fact that our affiliation, essentially, to USL Championship. And obviously, with the Toros gone, not being, like, a hybrid affiliate as it has been for, like, the past few years, we should be getting the under 23 team playing like at USL League 2 or 1. It's still not confirmed yet, but it is expected to be in place by next year or the year after. It's been in the works still, but it's one of those things that Paul Hollacher has been working on to pretty much produce that solid pipeline to give those players, our youth players, more minutes. And pretty much that foundation has been working on to hopefully work at some point. And yeah, like, it's been rough with the talent for Dynamo since Matt Jordan came in. And just going through the players that have been going through the academy, and as, like, right before Palomino, I'd say players like Christian Lucatero, like a player that has been, like, very hopeful with the team. Pretty much just out of the picture completely at this point. And that's the part that I've been pretty much upset about. So hopefully it's getting worked on over the next couple. It's gonna take a while, though, I'd say, preferably, since the talent doesn't grow on trees. But it takes time, essentially. So... But yeah, if you guys are just joining in, welcome in. If you guys want to talk and just let your minds be heard about Matt Jordan, it could be also Tab Ramos Academy or like anything related to Dynamo, just go ahead and request that, or like just raise your hand if possible. And yeah, we'll go ahead and get you in. Alrighty, so I'm going to go ahead and bring in Max right now. He's going to be raising his hand. All right. Alrighty, Max, how's it going? Or are David? All right.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Who's going up, Max or me?
You can go, David. I'll go ahead and get Max on cue for now. But yeah, he can request later. Alrighty. How's it going, David?
it's going good. So I'll keep mine short and sweet. So I probably come from a little bit of a different perspective because I actually worked for the team for a year or two in their front office sales. Back in 2016, but I can definitely say that 100% it's time for Matt Jordan to go. From many different things, from the academy, from just 7 years of just absolute failure, and him always preaching these core values, and one of them is getting the DP when the time is right, or finding the right one that fits the moment. And I don't think he's ever gotten one of those. And some of his signings, let's say Albert Elise or Ramel Quioto, weren't even really his signings. They were Wilmer Cabrera that chose those. So besides Albert Elise, Ramel Quioto, Mar Manotas, I don't think he's had anything that he's signed that you can point to as a success within these 7 years. And so I honestly think it is time for him to go. I would say we should keep Tab. If the plan for Tab was to build up the academy and to build up the youth system, you're not going to get that in a year or a year and a half. So I would definitely, like the previous person said, keep him on a tight leash, but I definitely wouldn't let him go just quite yet. But we definitely need a new GM, 100%. But yeah, those are my thoughts. It's definitely time for him to go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm in pretty much in the same position. Obviously, it's been proven. It's on paper as well. That Mike Jordan is the common denominator when it comes to all these managers that have been through the team for the past 7 to 8 years. And he has to go eventually, and he has to be the first person to go. I'm on the fence still with Tab. Obviously, it's not been his best performance as a coach for the past 13 games. But obviously, we have the issues with injuries and also the fact that his area of focus will be like a youth development, and that's one of the areas that you're working on, which also takes time. So it's tough to say at this point, but we just have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, Matt Jordan has to be the first one out. But David, yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm going to go ahead and bring Max back in since I kind of cut him off. Let's see if I can go ahead and bring him back in. Alrighty. Max, are you there? All right, should be Max coming in right now. Let's see.
Here we go. You there?
Yep.
All right. Evening, everybody. I just wanted to ask, because I'm not going to beat the Matt Jordan horse with a stick. Everybody knows it's time for him to go, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, who's out there that can really, like, the thing that concerns me is the fact there's no fans in the stadium at all. And there's no excitement about the club. So we got to do something to inject it in there right now. And it's who is out there. It's got to be, I've always believed that you've got to tap into the Latino community here. And especially like a Mexican player. I tried with Albert Elise, but there's just not a whole lot of really good Salvadorian players either. You know, who's out there that we can bring in?
Oh yeah. Short term, when it comes to trying to fill up the stadium, in order to like essentially bring back the fans to the stadium, is the fact that obviously you have to bring in a pretty good product there. And it's been obviously with the team being at this position for like almost 8 years now, the fans are pretty much convinced that the team is not going to get better anytime soon unless there's some like drastic changes. Obviously the first one being Matt Jordan being gone. And after that, then we'll have to bring in like substantial, I want to say substantial investment. Obviously like designated players are always good, but like short term, if you want to bring those players, those fans back in, you have to like bring in some good names. But I mean,
Funes Mori. You
know, short term, yes, but that's pretty unrealistic in Dynamo standards. But I mean, unless it's like all bites the bullet, but you know, I'm okay with it. I'm not gonna complain, but it seems pretty unrealistic though. But I wish.
Yeah, and then last thing was, you know, just. I tend to want to give Tab a pass because, you know, the main issue has been the defense for the past few years, especially late in the game. And I think, I mean, obviously the last few games are not good results, but overall they seem to be getting better at defense. but they just don't have the attacking sharpness. So hopefully Ted Siegel can put it all together, or at least get both things going at once. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Defensively, the team is getting better. Obviously, the results are saying otherwise, especially since the attack is pretty lackluster for the most part, which also we can factor in that the injuries. But yeah, it's gonna, defense is improving, though, slowly, I'd say. So, but yeah, thank you for chiming in, Max, for sure. And let's go ahead and bring in Robert. He's been also like trying to coming in. All right. Robert, you there? Robert's coming in right now. All right.
Hey there, Andres. How you doing?
Hey, Robert. All good. Trying to recover from yesterday. So, yeah.
We're in the same boat. We're in the same boat. Yes. Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about the elephant in the room, as many people have already said, is the Tom Ramos, Matt Jordan debacle. And I just want to give my take on it a little bit. When I see Matt Jordan try and play things off, and when he got his extension actually last year, I was very outspoken about that, very adamant that this was obviously I know we all thought this was a bad move, and considering his past, but some people were like, oh, well, it's COVID, let him stay, you know, it's okay, it's just one more year, whatever. Absolute disaster from him. Just complete mismanagement of our squad and our assets. That he's let go for pennies. And more than that, I think he should be ashamed of himself. And the reason I think he should be ashamed of himself in particular is that he brought in, or he's, you know, Tab Ramos was brought in and he was set up to fail from day one. That is, if I was someone's manager, I would never bring someone in who's, and put them in a position of responsibility when I know from day one that they're going to fail. And with the squad that we had to begin the season with, it's just not good enough. It's just not good enough. There's not enough investment there. There's not enough squad depth. Any Dynamo fan could have told you that day one of the season. So I think when it comes, we were talking about, you know, Matt Jordan's core values. Well, what's one of Matt Jordan's core values? Losing and mismanagement are his core values. And I think he's proven that over the 7 years he's been here. And I think it's time for him to go. And, you know, unfortunately, I actually just had to come back up to college I've been going to the games this summer. If I was at the game, the next game, I would be shouting, screaming, doing whatever I can to let my voice be heard that he's got to go now. And some people are saying, I'm seeing some people say, he's about to finish his contract. We're obviously not going to renew him. We renewed him last time. You know, I think he needs to go now. And the reason he needs to go now is nothing that we're not going to turn around this season. I think it's very obvious. But more than that, we need to send the front office needs to send a message to the fans to say, we are listening to you, because we have not had this happen for years now. They don't listen to us. They don't listen to us. And they do the same thing. And you know what? We show up to the stadium. There's 10,000 people there. And we say, that's okay. In a 23,000 stadium, you know, let your voice be heard at the next match. Let them know. Do whatever you can to let them know that this matters to us. We're not going to let this slide. We've seen it for 7 years and I'm done with it. I'm done with it. You're done with it. And now that we're all listening together and speaking, letting our voices, you know, starting to make a cause together, we cannot let this go under the table. And that's the main thing I wanted to say, but I'm curious to hear your take, Andres.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're hitting the nail right on the head when it comes to Matt Jordan and at this point, obviously, it's been extended to 1 year, which, like, on paper seemed like a pretty bad move, and obviously for me as well. It also could have been, like, influenced by Brenner at the time, and also because of the coronavirus pandemic, could have been like also an effect. But it would have been nicer to have a new GM by then, obviously to try to start over with, along with Matt Jordan. But I mean, not Matt Jordan, not Matt Jordan. Hopefully, but I mean, that's what I meant. Not Matt Jordan, no. But yeah, like, to the point that the main reason I'm trying to push the fire Matt Jordan thing is obviously that if like you would want him to like run it, to just go ahead and get his contract right now, but by doing that, you're pretty much saying, hey, we're not desperate for change. We're just gonna go ahead and wait and play the long game. But if we fire him now, That will essentially mean that the front office is listening, Tetsugo is listening, and they pretty much just want to go ahead and just turn the page, essentially, just try go ahead and build up from there, along with a Tab or potentially another head coach or whatever the plan is. So,
and then one more thing before I go, Andres, I just want to mention two things that also I think that us as a Dynamo fan community should be aware of and not let this slide under the table. The comment that Tim Parker made earlier a couple of weeks ago, I know you mentioned it in your podcast, Noodle Time. I just want to make sure that we understand what that means to us as a fan base and what that means as a club. When your club captain is not desperate to win and is not after this winless streak and all this the terrible things that have happened this season, doesn't have a fire under his, you know what? I think that should be a sign. As much as I really thought Tim Parker would be a good signing, and I think hopefully he will be going forward. I think he was also in that boat with Top Ramos where he was destined to fail. The team around him is just too weak. But what I don't like is one thing I really hoped he would bring to Houston was a strong mentality and a winning mentality, which I think he has or has the potential to be. But, man, that quote just rubbed me the wrong way. Absolutely terrible from him. And I think we cannot let that mentality, even if we're losing, we cannot have that mentality because that will keep us losing. And the last thing is I just want to say, you know, as much as this frustrates me with Matt Jordan and the front office and all this mismanagement, I think that, as I said earlier, Tab was put in a position to fail. And I think that even though he needs to take responsibility, obviously, awful, awful results in the field and what's going on right now is awful. And he can't just, you know, some of his press conferences, I feel like he's been, you know, quick to mention, you know, excuses. I think that he still deserves a second chance. And I think we should keep him on for one more season. And if he under a new GM and see if he can start to work some magic, because I don't want to discount his work with the U20s in the US U20s. That is real. You've seen some great managers come from that, whether it be in England. There's been some great managers who started off in the U20s. I think Steve Cooper, who else? Graham Potter, some people like that who started in the youth ranks and became going on to become great managers. I think Tab could do the same thing, but I think he just needs another chance to at least give him, you know, we should give him that chance. And I think it would be too quick to try and send him out, even though of what, you know, what's going on this season. So I hope the Dynamo stick with him and give him a second chance as opposed to Matt Jordan.
Well, absolutely. That's also a very valid stance to have to potentially give Tab a second chance with a new GM. Like I said, the results kind of speak for themselves, and obviously the mentality coming out of Tim Parker when he made that quote, pretty much saying that they don't feel the pressure from the current results. It rubs off the wrong way, obviously. And I also feel like that could be influenced by just the organization in general. Obviously, when it comes to Matt Jordan, like it's been this way for the past 7 years, and
yeah, no just sense of
so
urgency
used to
at all.
No sense of urgency, and pretty much you're just okay with skipping playoffs for the past 7 years, and you only made it once in 2017, and then you're like, oh, we're doing fine, guys. Well, we also won the Open Cup, so it should be okay. And yeah, it's not that. Absolutely.
All right. Well,
and
thank you so much for having me on. I'm gonna let other people speak, but I just think I need to clear my mind a little bit. I think we all need to clear our mind after what we've been watching on the television and at the stadium this
summer. Oh, yeah, absolutely, Robert. Yeah, I hope to see you there eventually. But yeah, thank you for tuning in.
All right, thank you, Andres.
Yeah. Alrighty, I'm now gonna bring in Jay Chavez. Has been requesting to get in. It's been pretty good so far, so thank you all. All right, how's it going, Jay?
Oh, sorry. I was muted.
No, you're good. You're good.
I'm good, man. It's hard times right now, as I think we all feel that way. But the one thing I kind of wanted to talk about, because I think the last couple of guys have all talked about how Top Ramos is a great choice for us because he has the potential to develop our team. And I agree that he was set up to fail with the poor quality of players that we have signed, thanks to our favorite guy, Matt Jordan. But I think after being a huge fan of Tab for the last couple of months, I think I started seeing some trends that I really don't like. And I think, yes, he was set up to fail, but he's also not helping himself out, because I think he does a terrible job with the substitutions and his team selection. I know, like, obviously we have to give him time and we have to understand that the players that we have are not that good, but man, like, are you going to tell me that you're going to start Cyric Valentin every single game when he's doing bad? Why did you bring Ian Hoffman? Aren't you supposed to, like, give him minutes? Isn't that supposed to be your guy from the U20s that you want to develop and give him minutes? Like, I think just there's a lot of lineup selections that I question, and the fact that, like, he doesn't show urgency or make adjustments in game ends up killing us. Like, yesterday the team started playing really bad, then they picked it up, and after that, like, they kind of just, like, got stuck because our team lacks creativity and we can't really attack or do anything on the ball. Like, yes, we've improved defensively, but we don't generate anything and we barely score, and it just makes it really hard to want to keep Tab Ramos one more year when you could bring in a new GM and bring in a manager that this new GM is going to like, and together they could build a good competitive roster, even if it's with limited funding. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Oh, no, yeah. That's another valid argument. Obviously, I've been a guy that has been trying to defend Tab since day one. And obviously, for the past 13 games, it's been getting extremely tough to defend him, and especially when it comes to his decisions in the game. His substitutions, obviously, coming out of the game with a draw, he started to sit back. And games like yesterday, we lose for one goal, and it's been kind of those performances that are consistent in the past few games, and it's been getting pretty difficult to defend him. And obviously you have the arguments that he's here to, like, develop the youth, and why did we bring in, like, guys like Ian Hoffman and the homegrowns? At some point they have to play, but they've been in a pretty rough position, especially with the injuries and having that lackluster attack. But yeah, it's the results on the field are still on him, and there's a lot of argument to make that the guys that should be out are Matt Jordan and may potentially Tab, which I respect, and I'm still on the fence about it. But it's been pretty tough to defend Tab, to be honest with you. And I've also been continuing around. Obviously, each is said and done, but it's pretty much Matt Jordan out first, but like Tab out as well. It's still up for discussion, but it can go back and forth, to be honest with you.
Yeah, obviously we definitely have to get rid of Matt Jordan, and then, I mean, obviously I would be okay if Tab stays another year, but at the same time, given the limited tactics that he has shown, I would also be okay with just bringing someone else and, you know, trying to start a complete new refresh, clean up the roster, and just start from scratch. If Ted Siegel really wants to win, he should do that.
Oh, yeah. And going back to the point that I made when it comes to Ted Siegel actually investing in the team, I feel like this is the great time to send a message, essentially. And if he's not just waiting for the Matt's contract to run out, and basically that essentially means that he may not be listening to the fans, essentially, and or we don't know yet, like, how the dealings work in the back end. But it's been essentially what we need right now is for the owner to show up at some capacity, since it's been 13 games we haven't won, and the team is just, like, dropping the standings and not being hopeful, and it's been this trend for, like, the past 8 years now, and it's been pretty disappointing.
So, yeah. 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 I think I'm about to step out and let someone else speak, but I think if we could summarize our team right now and our whole organization, is just, it's complacent. They're not bothered to improve. They're okay with being the way they are, as long as they keep, you know, existing and having a franchise in the league that's constantly getting improved in value all the time. I think we're just very complacent. And I really hope that if Ted Siegel really wants to at least win back some fans, I think he just should start showing some sort of ambition, and I really hope that we get to see that soon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, thank you for hopping on.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. And yeah, I would say complacency is the right word. I would say we've seen the organization regress over the past few years. And while all the teams, especially when it comes to expansion teams, outperforming the Dynamo and just like not having fans in the stands over the course of time, it's been pretty disappointing to see that as well, which I don't blame them, honestly, since it's been a dreadful run, I'd say, under Matt Jordan. And just people not having that investment on the team anymore, since what's the point of investing if they're not going to commit, essentially. So it's been pretty disappointing. And yeah, it's been a pretty good run, y'all. If you guys want to say anything else before we close out this episode, it's going to be just raise your hand and I'll get you in as soon as possible. So yeah, my closing thoughts, I'd say we did cover a lot of points in this talk, but with all the main points being surrounding Matt Jordan, which is like the main figure we are trying to get out of the organization as of today still. So if Ted Segal wants to send a message, like we said it a bunch of times, if he wants to send a message, now's the right time to make drastic changes. To if he wants to get rid of Matt Jordan after the season ends, that's still on him. But I seriously prefer for him to get fired as soon as possible, since it's been a miserable run with him, and just him getting shielded with a 2017 Western Conference final run and the Open Cup that we won, it's obviously unacceptable still. When you take into consideration all the results on the field, the current winless streak, and also only making playoffs only once in the last 7 years, and only 10 road wins out of the hundreds of games that we had already under him, and pretty much complacency overall, which has been pretty the theme under Matt Jordan. So yeah, we're closing in on the 15-minute mark, so it's been a while. But yeah, you guys have been great. So I thank you guys for tuning in for this wonderful talk, and especially considering that it's been pretty impromptu, out of nowhere, on a short notice. So I'm definitely hoping to do this again at some point. Hopefully with Tony in, so we can like get more, so we can engage more with the talk. But y'all have been great, and obviously I appreciate your dedication to the team and the sport as well. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and hope you guys are staying safe.